Exodus chapter number 20. Exodus chapter number 20. Genesis. Exodus chapter 20. The last few Sunday mornings we have been on the Ten Commandments. And today we're going to be talking about number 2. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images. We talked last Sunday morning about thou shalt have no other gods before me. And then the Sunday before that we did the introduction of all of the Ten Commandments. I think they're all out on the table. If you'd like to get some of those, maybe that'll be a help to you. Exodus chapter number 20. And let's look at verse number 4. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord, thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help us this morning. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to listen. God, Lord, not because I'm talking, but Lord, I want you to be talking today. Lord, we've enjoyed the service thus far. I pray that you would help me not to mess it up, but Lord, that we could build upon what has already taken place. And Lord, when we leave this place, we'd see you high and lifted up. And Lord, we would know that you are the only God that we serve. Lord, we thank you now. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, Amen. The Ten Commandments. A lot of people believe the Ten Commandments is what saves them. They are depending upon the Ten Commandments to get them to heaven. Most people couldn't name two of those. And if you're going to get to heaven by the Ten Commandments, then you might want to know more than just two. But I can submit to you this. The nation of Israel, the laws were not given to the nation of Israel as rules for relationship with God. They were given as a reflection of a relationship with God. If you remember, God delivered the nation of Israel out of Egyptian bondage by blood of the spotless lamb before he gave them the Ten Commandments. They were not saved by the Ten Commandments. They were keeping those Ten Commandments because of the relationship they already had with the Lord. And so that's the way it is. The Ten Commandments are not rules for religious people. They are guidelines for God's people. And people have an instinctive desire to worship God. Everybody is born with a desire to worship something. Man was created to worship. And if he does not worship the true God, then he'll worship a false God. And if he does worship the true God the right way, then he will worship. If he don't worship in the right way, he'll worship in the wrong way. The first commandment tells us who to worship. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. That tells us who to worship. Commandment number 2, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. That tells us how to worship.
Right.
How to worship, number one tells us who. That's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Number two says, how do you worship him? The first commandment forbids false gods. Commandment number 2 forbids false worship. A few years ago in the Chicago Tribune reported a story of a Mexican woman who was frying tortillas when she noticed the skillet burns on one of the tortillas resembled the face of Jesus. She was so amazed that she called all of her friends, all her relatives over, her husband and everybody to look. They all agreed. And they concluded that this was, in fact, the face of Jesus. So the woman took the tortilla to her priest. He blessed the tortilla. She then took it home and put it in a glass case on mounds of cotton so it would look like it was floating. In 3 months' time, 8,000 people came to worship at the shrine of Jesus of the tortilla. Newspapers from all around the world reported pilgrims came to worship the tortilla. Now, some of you are thinking, preacher, that story is not true. You look it up. It is a true story. I was telling in Sunday school about the lady that saw an image of Jesus in her bathroom, in her shower. And I know of a lady who had an old refrigerator on her back porch. And she opened that refrigerator door one time and she saw the face of Jesus in the refrigerator. And she called everybody, and you wouldn't believe the people that drove miles and miles and miles around just to go see Jesus in the refrigerator. That's what God's talking about. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. The image is spoken of in the second commandment. Speak of images that have been created as a representation of God for the purpose of worshiping and paying homage. Verse 4 tells us that you're not supposed to have anything. Objects of the heavens, on earth, in the sea. That pretty well covers everything. Those polytheistic nations and people have made gods out of just about anything that you can think of. They make it out of stone and sticks and wood carvings and things of that nature. Egypt boasted in having over 2,000 gods. Many of these gods were embodied in relics and statues and images that they worshipped. The Church of Rome has such images. For example, the churches in Naples and Rome claim to have the hair of the Virgin Mary. Another claims to have her wedding ring. Another church has her holy girdle. One cathedral claims to have the basin used at the Lord's Supper. The Church of Sebastian in Rome claims to have a rectangular marble stone in which are the footprints of Jesus Christ. The spear that pierced the side of Jesus and the head of St. Andrew are supposedly kept in a massive pier in St. Peter's Basilica. As for John the Baptist, everybody has parts of John the Baptist. Churches claim, if every church claimed to have part of John the Baptist, this is what he would have. 3 shoulder blades, 4 legs, 5 arms, 13 heads, and 50 index fingers are claimed to be had by various churches. Now, some of you are saying, well, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying it's against God to be worshiping image, graven in images. Put them away, put them away. Amen. St. Peter's Basilica in Rome, there's a marble statue of Peter. And people walk by and there they would rub and kiss the toe of that statue. In fact, they had rubbed and kissed so much through the years that half of the foot is gone off of St. Peter. And that's just one example. There's numerous of statues and the Virgin Mary and Jesus all through the place where people are bowing and praying. Now, folks, don't you think for a moment that Christianity is the exception. Christianity has its own images and likenesses as well, and they reverend those and worship those. A lot of churches call their preacher reverend. The Bible says there's not but one that's reverend. His name is Jesus Christ. The first and second commandments sound similar, but they are different. The first commandment tells us not to worship the wrong God. The second commandment tells us not to worship the right God the wrong way. It may surprise you to learn that the most repeated commandment of all the ten is commandment number two. The word idol, idolatry, appears 220 times in the Bible. God, idolatry, for God, idolatry is public enemy number one. If God had a most wanted list, idolatry would be at the top of the list. In the book of Acts, there was a fellow by the name of King Herod. He spoke a grand speech, and the people shouted out, "This is a voice of a God." And King Herod accepted that worship. And by morning, he was eaten by worms. Why? It's because thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Many people have misunderstood this commandment. They say, well, you shouldn't take photography or have stuffed animals or dolls or things like that. No. It's a misconception. It has nothing to do with art and hanging on your walls and things of that nature. This commandment was given for the sole reason of preventing men from inventing objects to be used in worship. The Bible says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. They changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. They changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. I remember watching one time a squirrel playing on a slanted tree that is sort of laying down halfway, and that squirrel would run down, and at the bottom this squirrel was captivated by something at the base of that tree. At the base of that tree, as I got closer, there was a rattlesnake that was going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, and had that squirrel mesmerized, and he got closer and closer and closer until that rattlesnake got a hold of him. Why? It's because an engraven image had seduced that squirrel. My friend, that's happening to Christians. That's happening to people all over America. Moses goes to the top of the mountain to get these Ten Commandments. He goes up there and he's there for a long time. He leaves Aaron in charge, the associate pastor in charge. Come on. When Moses comes down, he's got both of these tablets under his arm. He comes down and he hears some jungle music. Mostly what you hear out of cars going up and down the road in Dyersburg, Tennessee.
Yes, sir.
You're saying, well, I wouldn't have said that. That's why God called me and he didn't call you. He knew I'd say it and you wouldn't. Amen. Moses said, what is that sound? That don't sound like Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. He goes down. Folks, listen to me. I'm telling you what's in the Bible. He comes down and he says, what in the world is going on? Aaron had done made them a golden calf.
Right.
And they were dancing and tearing their clothes off.
Right.
Yeah. And dancing to that music around that graven image of what they called God. Right. Yeah. Moses came down and got so mad that he threw those Ten Commandments down and broke all ten of them in less than 2 seconds. He called Aaron. He said, what in the world are you doing? Why? It's because everybody sin requires judgment. And God says, what in the world, Aaron, are you doing? You get that golden calf, you melt it down, ground it to powder, and Moses poured it over the river and made the people drink it till it was all gone. That's what God feels about graven images.
Right.
And this is what he said. Moses said, you find anybody in the camp that does not want to repent and you kill them.
Yeah.
So if they did not repent, they were killed. Why? The judgment of God. God takes that pretty seriously.
Yep.
You say, preacher, why doesn't that happen today? It's because we're living under the age of grace, and God is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But I'm going to tell you this, God is coming, and He will take care of business one day. Thou shalt not have any graven images. The calf was a god that the Egyptian worshipped. The spirit of whatever you worship will take over your life. If you're reading tarot cards, stop it. If you're playing with Ouija boards, stop it. If you've got occultic literature in your home, stop it. If you have a desire to dye your hair black, your fingernails black, put white ghost-like powder all over your face, stop it. Whatever God you're worshiping will control your life. There's only two kingdoms in this world. It's the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. If you're not moving toward the kingdom of light, you're moving toward the kingdom of darkness. There is a judgment for sin. Moses broke those Ten Commandments. That's why John said in 1 John 5:21, little children, keep yourselves from idols. I can say this, if you've watched this show, I'm not condemning you for it. That doesn't make me any more spiritual than you are. But I've never watched one episode of The American Idol. I could care less who the America thinks an idol is. I don't care. If you watch it, that's your business. Help yourself. But it crosses the line too much for me of idolatry. This person wins. They give him a contract. They publicize him all over the world. We praise movie stars and sports stars like they're God. Can I help you? They put their britches on just like I do. Oh, but they make millions of dollars. Oh, really? How's that million of dollars going to help them in hell?
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Movie star. Oh, I want to be like so-and-so. I want to be like Miley Cyrus. I want to be like her daddy Billy Ray Cyrus. I want to be able to shuck and jive like he does and get a paycheck. My friend, you better worship the Lord thy God. That's what you better do. And the devil is called the serpent. A serpent is a dangerous thing to have in your home. I read of a story of a couple, highfalutin, money people. They bought an image. This thing cost money. And it was a doll. And it had a black snake wrapped around that doll. And they bought it. It was a very expensive item. They put that and it brought that into their home. And they testified that this is true. They said, ever since that thing has been in our home, there is a different spirit in this place. They said they woke up one morning and it was on the fireplace mantle. They woke up in the morning and a black snake had crawled into their home and wrapped itself around that doll just like the statue was. They said they took that thing out and they burned that thing with fire. And they said the spirit left that home. I'm telling you what, Americans, Holy Hills Baptist Church, visitors alike, you better take this serious. If it's in your home, if there's a bad spirit in your home, if there's material in your home that doesn't worship God, get it out of your home. Get it out of your home. Get it out of your home. Number one, a created God limits real worship. A created God limits real worship. It's idolatry to have all of those things. Hey, can I say this? I don't know. Hey, y'all probably, if you're not mad at me by now, you probably will be. But listen to me real carefully and don't take this the wrong way. It's idolatry to have a cross around your neck if you hadn't got Jesus in your heart. I didn't say it was wrong to have a cross around your neck. I said it is if you don't know Jesus and He ain't in your heart. It's idolatry. It's an attempt to represent a spiritual God in a material way. To worship God through an image is like having a picture of your family hanging on the wall, and you hug and kiss that picture on the wall and avoid and neglect your real family.
Yeah.
A lot of people have, they want God, they cannot see Him. They don't know what He looks like. They says, I must have something I can have and put my hands on. That's not the kind of God you want. My friend, God is not like the picture of your family. He's the real thing.
Amen.
It takes less faith to worship a little God that you can see than it is to worship the real God that you can't see. You say, preacher, what do? Idolatry today is idols that we worship are not ones that we make with our hands. They're ones that we make with our heart. They're not made of metal. They're mental. People today worship a God the way they want their God to be, rather than the way that God really is. You see, idols distort God. How many of you have ever heard this? If you've ever said it, I don't know who, but anyway, you always hear this. The man upstairs. We have the man upstairs. Can I say this? And maybe you do it without thinking. That's disrespectful. That's the man upstairs. That's the kind of God people want. He just lives one floor above us. Not really a big deal. He just lives one floor above us. And then you got the Santa Claus God. We think God is one big ATM machine. And all He does up there is bestow blessings on us. And we just stick our little card in, withdraw the blessings. And if you listen to the TV preachers, boy, if you're not driving a Cadillac and a Lincoln and you don't live in a three-story house, you're sinning against God, you're living in open sin. The Santa Claus God. Then you got the doctor God. Oh, God wants everybody to be healed. He wants everybody to be healed. He may not want you to be healed.
Right.
Paul prayed three different times. Lord, would you please remove this thorn out of my flesh? God said, nope. Nope. Nope.
Right.
Sometimes we pray for people to be healed and God's trying to do a work in their life. And we're standing in the way.
Right.
You pray, this is what you pray. God's will be done. We do not understand what God is doing. And then there's the lovey-dovey God. God loves you. Do anything you would like. Live any way you want to. And God will love you. Don't you just feel so warm and fuzzy? Be good to your neighbor. The lovey-dovey God. God will never send anybody to hell. Oh no. Live like you want to. If it feels good, do it. My friend, that's not God. Idols distort God. They degrade God. How many ever have been to Mount Everest? Let me see your hand. Mount Everest. Mount Everest. Mount Everest going once. Mount Everest going twice. Nobody has been to Mount Everest. Well, guess what? You're in luck today. I have an image of Mount Everest. Why are y'all laughing? This is an image, a good, perfect example of Mount Everest. Question, does this do Mount Everest justice? Neither does your idol. Any idol that you have, any physical representation of an idol down here, God is much bigger than that.
Right.
If you can hold God in your hand, it ain't much of a God. That's why we trust Him by faith. And I cannot believe y'all would laugh at my Mount Everest. It brings God down. A created God leads to false worship. Idolatry is the worship of a God we create instead of worshiping the God who created us. Some people park their idols in the garage. Some people put their idols in a safe deposit box. It's spiritual idolatry. Spiritual adultery to have other gods before you. Thou shalt not make any graven image. Hey, the Virgin Mary, she was a good lady. She was the mother of Jesus. But she is not God. And God Almighty is the only one that we should be worshiping.
Amen.
Imagine a woman walking into her home and her husband is hugging and kissing another woman and an ugly, ugly woman at that. And that woman walks in and catches her husband. He's a hugging and a kissing and he goes, "Oh, honey, you've got the wrong idea." This ugly woman reminds me of you. And the only reason I like her is because she resembles you. When I'm hugging her and I'm thinking of you, honey, when I'm hugging her and I'm thinking of you when I'm kissing her. How many of that will go over? Not a hand in the room. Then why is it those of us, we try to worship a God that we can hug and kiss and get our hands on?
Right.
And God's and some of you right now are going, "Oh, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that." It's just like what I just said. God walks into the room and goes, "What are you doing?" "Oh, go. No, God, there's nothing wrong with this. This just reminds me of you." When I'm hugging and kissing this and worshiping this and worshiping Mary, it reminds me of you. And God says, that's what it is in the Hebrew. The real Creator God liberates true worship. Notice, and I'm closing. Notice it says He's a jealous God. Deuteronomy 32:21 says, "They've moved me to jealousy with that which is not God." God is a jealous God. You say, "That doesn't sound right." Talk show host say this, said, "Jealousy, that's wrong, isn't it? God should not be jealous." Well, let me tell you the difference in God and us. God has a monopoly on this thing called being God. He has the exclusive copyright and the eternal patent on this thing called God. You can't share His files with anybody else. He has the market cornered on being God.
Right.
No human being has the right to ever be jealous of another human being because you're not the only human being that there is. No preacher has the right to be jealous of another preacher because there's all kinds of preachers in the world. No musician has the right to be jealous of another musician because there's all kinds of musicians in the world. No athlete has the right to be jealous of another athlete because there's other athletes in the world. God has a right to be jealous because there is no other God but God, Jehovah. God's not jealous of Himself. He is jealous for His children. He wants the best education for you. He wants the best care for you. He wants you to be the best people. That's why the second commandment comes with a curse. Says, if you have idol gods, images, graven images that you worship, it's going to be passed down to the fourth and fifth generation. Your kids, your grandkids. That's what it says. Thou shalt not bow down thyself nor serve Him, for I am the Lord God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children of the third and fourth generation of them that hate Me. You say, "Brother Jeremy, that doesn't seem right that children should have to suffer for the sins of the fathers." Little children suffer if their dad's an alcoholic, don't they? little children suffer as their mama's a dope addict, don't they? The children are never held guilty for the sins of their parents. That's not what he's saying. He's saying that they suffer as a result of the sins of the parents. And oftentimes it takes a whole generation to break this the cycle established by the parents. My friend, it's important. It's important in your home that you, as your if you're a father, that you teach your family how to worship God, worship the right God, and how to worship Him. You worship Him in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
Nothing more destructive than teaching your children how not to worship God. The Bible says He's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Hebrews 1:3 says, who being the brightness of His glory, the express image of His person. You say, preacher, what image do we worship? The invisible image of God Almighty. Or the expressed image of His person. Idol. Image. Icon. Where we get our word icon. You ever heard that? He's an icon. Now, let me tell you, there's not but one God. And He's only to be worshipped one way.
Amen.
And that's in spirit and in truth. Let me close with this. The Bible says the Father seeketh such to worship Him. If you gave God your intellect, God wouldn't be any smarter. If you gave God your money, God wouldn't be any richer. If you gave God your strength, He wouldn't be any stronger. There's only one thing you can give God that He desires and wants from you, and that is worship. You say, what is worship? Worth. Worth-ship. Worth. What is God worth to you? Worship. Worth. That's where we get worth. What is He worth to you? I can tell by the way, God can tell by the way we worship. By the way we worship, how much God is worth to us. My friend, God desires the worship and the praise of His saints. And we need to start today. By thou shalt not have no other gods before me. That's who to worship. And how to do it is don't have any graven image before you. Worship a God. You can't see Him. I know. He's bigger than what you can see. He's better than anything you can think of. He's the best thing that's ever happened to you. The best thing that's ever happened to your family. He's the God that sent His only begotten Son to this world to die for your sins so you could go to heaven and spend forever and ever with God Almighty. That's what kind of God we have. Heavenly Father, I pray right now that You'd bless the invitation. Lord, we never want to be guilty of worshiping an image, worshiping our money, worshiping our family, worshiping a denomination, worshiping a man. Lord God, we want to direct all of our worship toward You. God, would You please bless this invitation? There may be people in this room right now. I know it's hot. Lord, I know. I understand. But Lord, there's people in this room right now that may not know You. They may not know Your Son, Jesus Christ, who came and died for them. I pray, Lord, before this day's out, that they'd find salvation from the free pardon of sin. God, help us now in this invitation. Now, in Jesus' name, stand to your feet. Would you come? Won't you come?